We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
Welcome in to, a pretty exciting edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. My name is Chris Plank. This is our game plan edition. We took last week off, almost accidentally, so that's my bad, Toby Rowland. But I guess then I can blame myself, because if we just would have grinded through it, maybe you didn't get COVID? I don't know. I feel awful about this, man. I think most of Sooner Nation wants to know the most important question. How are you feeling? How are you doing after the COVID-19 diagnosis this past weekend?
I'm doing good. It knocked me on my backside for a couple of days, and I would not say I'm 100% yet, but I'm feeling significantly better. And more than anything, I hate it that I can't be with you guys and with the team down in the Cotton Bowl on Wednesday night. You know how much we love to get to call these games, and especially these special games at the end of the year, kind of what we live for. So it stinks, but I'm really excited for you, and I'm excited to listen to you guys call the game on Wednesday and watch a game on television for the first time in a long time.
I will say the most intriguing thing that I saw proposed was someone that said we need to put a camera in Toby's home studio so we could watch him have to watch the game. I mean, have you kind of thought about what the plan's going to be? I mean, obviously we want to make sure you're staying healthy, so that's most important, right? But is there going to be snacks? Is there going to be – are you going to allow yourself a couple of extra Dr. Peppers? How's it going? What's the plan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I will definitely have snacks and Diet Dr. Peppers for sure. You know, I'm going to be a part of the pregame and postgame, and so I'm not going to be too far. I'm probably going to be keeping a drive chart as the game goes, just because I don't know how else to watch a game other than to kind of keep notes as we go so we can talk about it in the postgame. So, and I'm going to be listening to you guys. So we always preach to people how they can sync their game at home. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to have you and Teddy sync to the TV broadcast and watching it. And I'm sure I honestly think it's going to be kind of miserable. I will be excited about the game, but not being able to be with you guys and to be a part of the broadcast is going to be tough, so I'll probably be pulling my hair out a little bit.
I will say I got the spotter board, so for those that don't realize how dedicated Toby is, even while battling through COVID, you still hooked me up with the greatest way to make sure I know who everyone is, which, dude, just looking at the spotter boards as I sit here right now as we tape this on Tuesday afternoon, that's a lot of work, so I'm very grateful to you for that.
Well, no problem. Like I said, since well, 4 days ago now, I have been locked in this office and need something to do. And so putting those together helped pass the time. It was very odd to to zip them up and hand them off to somebody else. I did feel like we made a little bit of a drug transaction, perhaps.
We had a child involved.
you brought me a duffel bag, and I handed over you the spotter boards, and it felt illegal, even though I don't think it was. But, you're going to do great. I can't wait to listen, and I can't wait to watch the Sooners bring this thing home.
All right, well, let's lay out a couple of things just here, technically wise, because I know for those that don't get a chance to listen to us on our daily shows, Toby, I don't think you mind sharing, but you kind of started feeling bad on Christmas morning, and you just thought, I don't want to risk getting anyone else sick. Is that kind of how this played out for you?
Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, really. My son Peyton, wasn't feeling well, and I was pretty lethargic too, and we kind of compared notes. Anyway, that night was miserable, and the next day on Christmas Day, we were feeling miserable. So Doc Schnabel worked out a way for us to get tested on Christmas Day, which was interesting. That's the most 2020 thing ever, is to drive to get a COVID test on Christmas Day. And we found out when we got there that it was the kind that they stick in the back of your skull. I didn't know that till we got there, which I think you've been through that, right? I can't remember if you've been through that.
Oh, I have not. I'll just tell you right now. Gabe had to go through that. Gabe did. Yeah. I did not. If I ever have to go through that, it's probably not going to end well for me. I'm just telling you for a little background information, because our swabs are the antigen tests that they do, and it gets in your nose, but it's not real deep. But I tear up every single time, so I can't even imagine what you had to go through with that.
Yeah, it's not fun. I'll just say that it's not fun. I sat there for a couple minutes or 5 or 10 afterwards, because my eyes were watering so bad I couldn't drive the car to leave. So I'm calling it eyes watering. I was not crying. My eyes were watering. But anyway, my test came back positive, and fortunately my son's came back negative, and he's gotten much better since then. And the rest of the family has been able to stay negative too. So had symptoms for mild symptoms, fever, chills, achiness, that kind of stuff for about 48 hours. And more than anything, just kind of a lingering headache now for 5 or 6 days that makes me want to sleep all the time. So who knows what's a part of it and what's not, but I'm doing better.
Good.
And I think a Sooner victory is really all I need to kind of push me over the top. Get us 100% again.
And knowing that you're doing better and that you're healthy, we can then segue to kind of the process. You and I, and by the way, I got to say, the outpouring on social media has been so awesome to see. And I hope you realize how much that that you being a part of this means to Sooner fans, because I was in awe of seeing the love for the job that you do. It's really cool, man. But with that in mind, we explored just about every option, from you calling from your living room, if you were feeling well enough, to getting you a special super secret feed to somehow make sure you could still call it. But I think in the end, what, just kind of decided it might be a little bit too complicated from the timing of it and everything?
Well, listen, the number one option has always been, since the day you and I started working together, is if something happens to me, you're move up to the booth.
I appreciate that.
And we've always kind of worked under the impression that could be, you know, you lose your voice in the middle of a game or whatever. Those things happen, or you get sick the night before. This is a rare situation where we've had at least a few days here to kind of plan. So I think the first option was always, let's just have Chris do it, because that's what we've always said we were going to do. But because we had a few days, we just threw out, all right, what are the actual possibilities of, you know, maybe me calling this thing remotely? And it was quickly realized that, one, I don't know that I can do it. Like, you know, Chris, I'm exhausted after a game
right.
when I'm at full strength, and much less this. So I don't know from a health perspective if it's smart. And two, there was going to be a delay between my office and you guys in Arlington, and it was going to make it a little difficult, not a big delay, but enough of a delay that it was going to throw off the rhythm of our broadcast. And it was just not worth it. It's just not, especially when we got somebody of your talent and your skill level right there, who's able to do it and willing, and that's what we should do. So it was very quickly decided that that was the right path to go. And I'll be a part of the pregame and the postgame, and might do a stat segment at halftime or something, but try to stay out of your way and let you get at you and Teddy get after it there in the booth. And then Gabe's going to be on the sidelines, and Jessica Cootie, who everybody knows well, Sooner fans know well, is going to slide in and help us out down on the sidelines as well. And like I've told you before, I am fully anticipating falling in line with Wally Pipp as sports figures who have lost their job.
That ain't happening. But I will say, it is – I've joked about this, and it is – it's kind of funny. I don't know how many people will just listen to the pre and the post game, but if that's all you do, you won't notice a difference, right? Because you'll be – we'll basically be handling things very similar in the pre and the post game show if all connections go well with starting lineups and – obviously, the scene setter is ready to go. So, and the post game coverage as well too. Now, obviously, we have some I's to dot and T's to cross whenever it comes to the post game show with some of the rules Cotton Bowl has, but we'll hash those out. But yeah, I mean, I'm just pumped that you're healthy enough to where we're able to at least get you rolling here to help us out a little bit on Wednesday night.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be good. We're gonna have a good broadcast, and we've got a great team, not just the guys everybody knows on the air, but our engineers off the air too, and Drake Dykin and Michael Dean and Stats Kelly is going to be right there to your left throughout the broadcast, pumping you full of numbers and statistics, and probably talking in your ear when you wish he wouldn't.
Yeah, I might have to give him a Xanax before the game is kind of what I'm thinking.
and it's going to go well. And I just wanted to circle back to something you said earlier. I didn't mean to ignore that, but it has really been so incredibly nice how thoughtful everybody has been, not just through this, because this is – I'm fine. There's a lot of people who this has hit a lot harder than me. I've just got a little – basically in a cold on steroids, basically, is what it feels like. But I'm fine. But even back to, like, the back surgery earlier this year, and Sooner fans have been filled my inbox with prayers and thoughtfulness. And I think sometimes, Chris, you know this, you get into preparation for a game and you do a broadcast and pregame shows and postgame shows, and it gets to feeling like you're just broadcasting to the other guys on your crew a little bit. You know, you know people are out there listening, but you don't really have a full grasp of how many, and you don't really have a full grasp of, you know, how big of a deal it is to people, how big of a deal this Sooner Radio broadcast is because of Bob Berry and John Brooks and Kurt Gowdy and all the guys through the years that have made listening to Sooner football a big part of people's lives. They grow up doing it. And it's been really reinforced to me this year through all this, how many people care, you know, not just listen to the games, but that are really nice people out there, Sooner fans that really care about your well-being and makes you really happy you do what you do.
Well, we're going to hear from Bill Beedenbow, DeMarco Murray, Alex Grinch, and a little Ronnie Perkins plus Calvin Thibodeau before we get out of here. Knowing that, yeah, I know, right? It's kind of a loaded show. Jessica and her practice report's really helping us out here. So before we go and before we let you get some rest, a lot of opt-outs for Florida. Mm-hmm. A lot of opt-out for Florida, but I'm excited. I think this is a fun matchup to see the Oklahoma defense challenged like this with Kyle Trask, and a great opportunity to make a statement for both sides, all three phases of the game for Oklahoma here tomorrow.
Yeah, I think you hit on the key word there. This is a tremendous opportunity game for this football program, and in so many ways this season has mirrored 2016. In the way that it started 1-2, the way they got their act together and finished so strong, then they face an SEC team now in a New Year's Six Bowl. And in 2016, they beat Auburn and then launched the Lincoln Riley era from there and took it to a college football playoff appearance the next year and had a great opportunity. And I think that's kind of what this could be for this team. They are taking a tremendous amount of momentum into this game. A young quarterback that has found himself and found his confidence and his leadership. And maybe most importantly, a defense that through the course of this year has become confident and self-assured and has swagger like we're used to seeing OU defenses. And if they can go out and play well again against a caliber foe like this and win on Wednesday night, then I think this offseason just becomes, yeah, it's a launching point for them to maybe be a top 2, 3, 4 team going into next year and really make a solid run at an 8th national championship.
All right, glad you're healthy. When's the calendar say Toby's back? What's the date we have circled right now? Is Baylor game?
January 4th.
Nice.
Is when I'm out of COVID jail, if I'm feeling well. And that means my first game back will be the number one team in the nation, Baylor, on January 6th.
Beautiful. Can't wait, man. Appreciate everything you've done. Sooner Nation's been awesome in their support. Toby, glad you're healthy, and thanks for everything, man.
Have a great call, Chris. I can't wait to hear you.
Thanks, man. I'll do my best. All right, so we mentioned that Jessica Cootie has been kind enough to get ready for us with assistant coaches. So we'll hear from Alex Grinch. We'll hear from Calvin Thibodeau. We'll hear from Bill Beatonbow. But let's kick things off as we get set for the Cotton Bowl, Oklahoma and Florida. Jessica goes one-on-one with DeMarco Murray.
All right, well, we welcome in first-year running backs coach DeMarco Murray, fresh off the first Big 12 title for you as a coach. How did that one feel, being you've won a couple as a player here, but to win your first one as a coach?
Won 4 as a player here, so it felt pretty dang good, you know, to win my first one as a coach here. And obviously, it's been an unforgettable year with the pandemic and you know, all the activism things that we've been accounted to do. So it's been great. You know, it was great. You know, it's kind of short-lived, you know, so now we got to move on to the Cotton Bowl and get ready for the Gators.
Yeah, for you personally, you see the matchup with Florida. What was your reaction to that, being that you have some history with Florida?
Yeah, my first reaction was, can I suit up and play? That was my first one. Second one was, hopefully we can get this one done. You know, obviously we missed the game in 2008. You know, it was a big game, one of probably the biggest of my career that I've ever had, and obviously didn't get a chance to play. But, you know, things happen. You know, it's all part of God's plan. But fortunate that, you know, obviously this time around, I won't miss this one. So we'll see.
This offense got a huge boost when Ramondre Stevenson returned back to the field. Why was that? Why did he provide such a spark?
Just the kind of runner he is. You know, we want to be a physical offense, and he definitely sets the tone in the run game, being a physical back, always falling forward. And just the versatility at the position that we're missing. You know, we're missing the big runs, the explosive runs, the 10, 12, 15-yard runs that, you know, we didn't have that prior to his suspension. So, you know, getting him back was really good for this offense, good for my room, and just all around for the guys.
In a matchup like this, and you talk about, you know, a lot of people want to talk about the SEC defenses and whatnot, you know, what do your guys need to do in a game like this and an opponent like this? You know, it's important to be able to run the ball well, right?
It is. It's always important to run the ball, obviously control the line of scrimmage on both fronts. But for us, we got to execute our game plan. You know, when we execute our game plan and we play with our tempo, we're one of the best offenses in the league, and I think our guys know that. So we got to just get back to going, playing at our tempo, playing at our pace, and continue to take care of the ball. I think that's been a positive over the last couple of games, but taking care of the ball is obviously more important than anything. But run the ball and controlling the trenches up front, you got to be able to do those two things to win the game.
A lot of people had counted out this team to, you know, finish out the season the way you did with a Big 12 title, and here you are in another one of the biggest bowl games that you can play in. What is it about this team, this program, Oklahoma, that you continue to find ways to be in the position that you're at?
I think the biggest thing is just resiliency. You know, we've all been faced with a lot of challenges this year, and from top to bottom, you know, obviously it starts with Lincoln and you know, Joe C, you know, they put a great game plan together to attack, you know, this pandemic for us to be safe, make sure our kids are safe, our families are safe. So it all started with that, just getting together. And I think us as a staff, we followed their lead. So I think this is a resilient group. And, you know, we work our tails off and they deserve it. So extremely competitive and we fight to the end. So this is a program that's obviously known for Big 12 championships and finishing. So we got one more game to go, and hopefully we can, you know, get that done.
You talk about that one more game. You know, you've been a part of teams that, you know, played in the final game. And what does that do? How does that set the tone for an off season for a team going into what you start preparing for next season?
It's huge because obviously some young guys aren't playing, so they're not a part of that. So just having that momentum, obviously, in the offseason and working hard and grinding for those moments, you know, a lot of the young kids get to obviously be around the atmosphere and, you know, they're going to work hard to be in that same situation, if not better, position, you know, for the following year. So obviously the momentum goes into and it carries into the offseason with your workouts and things of that nature. But I just think it's important for the young guys to kind of see that stage in that environment.
Obviously a potential big game for Ramondre Stevenson. Sooners really need to get him going. Their running game has been much better since the return of Ramondre Stevenson, but I think everyone agrees the last few weeks they kind of struggled to get it at that level where they want it. So good stuff with Jess DeMarco Murray. Meanwhile, sticking with talking about the offense, Sooner offensive line coach Bill Beedenbo. How about this? I mean, I still think this is one of the more fascinating stories in the Big 12 championship game that hasn't been talked about enough. But, you know, Bill Beedenbo, in the fourth quarter of a championship game, changes up his rotation going with a true freshman at left tackle and then a transfer who just became eligible midway through the season at right guard. So obviously it'll be interesting to follow who's in on that offensive line, but Coach Beedenbo will have his guys ready.
And we welcome in offensive line coach Bill Beedenbo. Coach, you've been a part of the six straight Big 12 titles. Not an easy task to do, but how special was this one given everything you've had to overcome over the last year?
No doubt. I mean, I think they're all special. Never gets old. It is tough. I don't care how good you are, who you're playing. I mean, it's a grind. And then this year, you know, just not having spring ball, and then we brought our guys back later. I think, you know, the end of June started in July. They hadn't been able to go home at all. So it's been tough, but it's been rewarding. We just met today and, you know, told them how proud I am of them because it wasn't easy. I mean, it was hard. In a regular year where you didn't go through all these COVID protocols and all those things, it's still going to be tough and challenging, but this year probably the most challenging. But you know, the guys did a good job, and then, you know, how we started out the year, didn't start the year great, and then, you know, just shows the character and toughness of this team to, you know, be able to battle back and stay with it and keep fight and grind and then find a way to win another one.
Four different quarterback under Coach Riley and that you guys have been blocking for. How have you seen Coach Riley continue to tailor the offense to each quarterback skill set and what we're seeing with Spencer Rattler this year?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, obviously, he's done an unbelievable job with these guys. You see what they're doing in the NFL, and obviously that'll help happen with Spencer at some point in time. But, yeah, everybody has a different skill set. And, you know, I think our offense, we can adapt and change to anybody's skill set. So, obviously, he's done a great job, and Spencer's done a great job continuing to improve and get better as everybody has.
Another chance to match up with an SEC defense. Obviously, a lot of people talk about the SEC defenses year in and year out. How much do you guys embrace a challenge and an opportunity to dominate in a matchup like this?
No, I think you always do. I mean, they're really good. I've only been watching them since last night and throughout the day. Obviously, they have really, really good players, really talented players. They've got a good scheme. We'll know more as we continue to watch them, but you know, it's going to be a challenge, probably our biggest challenge up to this point, just a little bit that I've seen. So these guys will embrace it, they'll work, and they'll be ready to play.
What do your guys need to do throughout this time leading up to kickoff to be ready for that challenge?
You know, just continue to watch the tape, continue to work, continue to mentally prepare yourself for the game. And obviously we're going to have our practices. It's not going to be like a regular bowl game. We obviously have less time, and then you know, the players, you know, have Christmas. So just continue to stay in tune to what they have to do mentally, physically, and, you know, then come back and, you know, have really good practices. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, you got to go out there and you got to practice and prepare the right way. And then hopefully it shows up when we play, what is it, next Wednesday.
Your captain, Creed Humphrey, the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year, another one for you under your belt. Continue to bring those home. What have you seen from him and his development this year especially?
Yeah, I think he got back to himself this year. I think he had a lot on him as a sophomore. You know, as a freshman, he could just go out there and play. You know, he had four really good players around him. You know, he wasn't expected to be the leader. Had other guys doing that. So, yeah, he was calling the defenses and all those things, but he could just go play. You know, last year he had to take on that role but be a good player. And, you know, and there was other circumstances, but I think he's really, really embraced that leadership role. He's done a great job. This year he's become the player that he was in the past, and he's going to continue to improve and get better as, he ventures on with his career.
And as we shift from the offense to the defense, the most dominating position group for the Sooners, and maybe in that one of the most surprising has been the defensive line. Cootie talked with Calvin Thibodeau.
All right, well, we welcome in defensive line coach Calvin Thibodeau. Coach Thibodeau, it's a weird kind of preparation schedule for this year's bowl game. How do you guys manage the kind of not as much time and just the weirdness of all of it when normally you have, what, 3 weeks to prepare for an opponent?
Yeah, well, actually, it kind of keeps you on track because it's not as much time, so you don't have to worry about the guys getting rusty. You know, with the quick turnaround, it's actually a benefit. You know, you kind of stay in tune, you kind of stay on beat, and, it's literally, less than, 10 days away. So, it kind of works out.
So it's a defense that was trending upward, going into this season, but the defensive line play, a lot of talk that this is the most productive defensive line in the country, one of the best defensive lines in the country. What has been the key to the elevated play of your guys up front this year?
I think it starts with the system. Coach Grinch allowing those guys to go hunt, to pin their ears back and attack gaps. And these guys have been on edges, and, they're making the most of their opportunities. Those guys are, not just running the defense. They're trying to make plays. Myself, Coach Kane, developing guys and, to get these results, man, it's really a blessing.
And Coach Riley has talked about the importance of, you sub guys in and there's no go down in level of play at all. How important has that been to have multiple guys that you can run in and out of there and that it's not going to, drop off the...
I think that's been key to our season, key to our success, to keep rolling those big guys. Anytime you got guys out there breathing hard, usually mistakes happen and usually, the loafs happen. And, when loafs happen, that's when injuries can happen. So to keep guys fresh to where they're hunting every snap has been critical. And if a guy's wearing down, he looks to the sideline, he tag teams his buddy, and he come in and then he go get a piece of it. So it's been awesome.
Let's talk about your two guys that have got a lot of recognition, Perrion Winfrey and Isaiah Thomas. Just how big have they been just for the overall success of this defense this year?
They've been huge. IT really, man, to play all across the line, man. I mean, it's been an amazing year for him, and just so proud of him. His perseverance, sticking through, and just finding a way, man. We never thought, particularly myself, to play him inside, but it clicked. And to see him have success has been huge. And then Perrion, to come in, from a JUCO and not to truly have a spring ball, or just with this COVID situation. For him to, start as many games as he has for us and, be productive, it's been huge for us.
You were a part of this program that is built on defense, right? A lot of people talk about the flashiness of the offense, but Teddy Lehman repeatedly says that this is a program that was built on defense. So how proud does it make you to see kind of the return and to see that it's the defense that's been such a bright spot for this team this year?
It's huge, and I honestly believe we're just scratching the surface. We're really, really just digging our nails and claws into this deal. Like, I think these guys are starting to see what we really can be, and it's special. That's the expectation, and to see these guys having success, you just want more and more and more for these guys.
You guys have done a really good job all year of getting to the opposing team's quarterback. How are you guys going to be able to do that against Trask and this Florida offensive line?
That's what you play the game for. You want to go against the best of the best, and it presents a great challenge. But it's one that we look forward to. We're excited about it. We're going to do what we've been doing the whole season. Pin our ears back and go hunt. And we're excited about the opportunity and can't wait.
And nothing wrong with being the Grinch for Christmas when we're talking about Sooner defensive coordinator Alex Grinch. Big time turnaround, but more specifically, a big time challenge with what Kyle Trask in Florida has done, even with all the opt-outs of the receiver position. This is one heck of a challenge that the Sooners are ready for.
Well, Coach Grinch, congratulations on the Cotton Bowl nod. This is a team that's been in the college football playoff, but when you guys hear the matchup with Florida, an SEC opponent in a premier bowl game, what was kind of the reaction? How excited are you guys for this matchup?
Yeah, it's a great bowl. Have some experience in the bowl in my past. It's a great opponent. Obviously, I have tremendous respect for the program that that is the Florida Gators and coming out of the SEC. And it doesn't take long to turn on that film to understand it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us. So great bowl, great challenge, great team. So it kind of has all those all the makeups of everything that you want in a bowl game.
After the first two losses, a lot of people counted Oklahoma out, that you were basically somebody else's year this year, might be. But you guys never lost faith in each other. What made you believe in this defense that you guys could turn it around and do what you did and play at the level that you were playing at here at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, so much of it stemmed from the fact that, you know, a lot of the issues we had in the first couple of ball games were self-inflicted. And so when you say, okay, if we can correct those mistakes, we have an opportunity to possibly right the ship. And that's a week in and week out type of approach. You don't do it one time and you reap the benefits of it. That's one time in 1 week. But conversely, that's the same reason, you know, it's 1 week, one challenge, one issue on those particular weeks when you don't get the results that you want. So you don't, I guess, balloon it to something that it's not. You're very specific in how you attack the issues that we had. So, you know, obviously some turnovers on the offensive side of the ball, and then lack of takeaways, the combination thereof is not the real good recipe in football, and then the inability to finish games. And so, very detailed approach in the things that we were lacking. And we also were very, you know, cognizant of the things that we were doing well and found ways to enhance those over time. But obviously proved to be a resilient group and ultimately got the end result that we all certainly were searching for.
Takeaways have been a big emphasis for you, and you did not like how, you know, it ended last season, and it's been a major improvement. We saw three interceptions by your guys in the Big 12 championship game. What's been the key to that, to kind of changing that trajectory and that the improvements that we've seen there?
I think so much of it is just the finishing of plays. I mean, we talk about finish a lot in the program, and it's as little as, you know, finishing that rep in the weight room to you know, finishing a sprint, meaning going all the way through a line. That's off-season type of conversations. But and then you talk about finishing games. But if you work backwards from that, obviously you got to finish the fourth quarter. It's the only quarter you can win a game. But that also means you need to finish a half. Now we rewind it to halftime. You need to finish the quarter, you know, after that, to the first frame, and you got to finish drives, which is getting off the field, and it's also then finishing plays. And so, you know, a takeaway is just that it's a finish to a play. You know, the ball doesn't know who it's supposed to go to, and so I think it's just our guys, you know, the finishing skills and the expectation to finish each and every play, and you never know when the ball's going to come your way, and so you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and it's obviously thrilled for the guys to, you know, come down with those, particularly those interceptions, and obviously a critical game for us.
Last thing for you, the two-headed monster of Ronnie Perkins and Nick Bonito. How much has that duo allowed for you to be creative in what you've done with this scheme this year?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think, obviously, off, you know, from an offensive standpoint, it's very difficult to, you know, point in one direction and say that's the guy we got to block, because then you got to turn you know, on the opposite side and see another individual with the unique ability to win one-on-one pass rush. And, oh, by the way, there's Isaiah Thomas and there's Perrion Winfrey and a host of other guys that we've kind of, you know, thrown at the opposing offenses over the course of the year. So, you know, again, none of that is based on reputation. That is based on production. Those guys have been very productive for us each and every week. And so, and it's something that's got, has to continue in the Cotton Bowl for us to have any success.
All right, we mentioned Jess had a great feature on Ronnie Perkins. We're going to share the unedited audio to wrap things up. But just since we were talking with Alex Grinch there, or Jess was, this Oklahoma defense versus the Florida offense is going to be a fascinating matchup. You have the country's number one passing attack allowing or averaging 384 yards per game. Kyle Trask, 43 touchdowns, an Oklahoma defense that ranks fourth in the country, averaging 3.6 packs per sacks per game. Trey Norwood has four picks. That was tied for the lead in the Big 12, but it's a much different look for Florida. Kyle Pitts opted out. Kadarius Toney opted out. Trayvon Grimes opted out. On the defensive side of the football, they're already going to be without Marco Wilson and Sean Davis. And, oh, by the way, one other wide receiver, Jacob Copeland, is out due to COVID reasons. So Florida will be without 174 of their 296 receptions, 2,778 of their 4,272 receiving yards. And of the receivers that will be playing, or at least pass catchers that will be playing on Wednesday night, of the 45 touchdown receptions that Kyle Trask was responsible for throwing this year, he'll have guys that caught 11 of them available tomorrow night. It's Oklahoma and Florida. Let's go one-on-one. Cootie had a great sit-down with the man, the myth, the legend, Ronnie Perkins, to get us ready for the Cotton Bowl.
The defensive line obviously has been one of the biggest highlights for this team this year. What was kind of the mindset, the message that you guys took as a group to kind of want to set the tone for the team this year?
I could probably say just being disruptive. You know, we heard a lot of talk about other teams' D-line, and I was just thinking, like, pretty much since the summertime, since we came back to campus, I pretty much just preached, like, why can't we be those guys, you know, everybody talk about, you know, why can't we be those guys that everybody fear? So I pretty much just preached them to them, like, man, if we're a good D-line, if we're a good disruptive D-line, it's going to be hard for the offense to do anything, run, pass, whatever. So I pretty much just, like, preached that to the younger guys and some of the guys who just got here. Like, we got to be disruptive no matter what. If we don't get the TFL or the sack, but as long as we playing in the backfield, this defense can do a lot.
How much you feed off of one another?
A lot. It's like a competition. Like I said, it's just a competition between all us to go get the first sack, go get the first TFL, or just to go make a play. It's a competition with all us. So if Perry, I make a play, I definitely want to make the next play just to outshine him.
The coaching staff and Grinch in this system, how much has that kind of enabled you to really turn loose?
It was probably like one of the last things I needed, really, is Coach Grinch and his system, you know, allowing us to play in the backfield. And, in our system, the D-line come first, really, is what we'll say. So just allowing the D-line, like, to be the playmakers and play how they want to play, it's really been a big thing for us. And I think that's, like, been a big part of our success that we've been having.
The coaches all talked about how you were a major leader even when you weren't playing. And a lot of people could have stepped back, waited to come back, and then kind of get involved. But why was it important for you to stay so involved and be such a leader even when you weren't out there on the field?
Just to really show my teammates, man, like, no matter the circumstances, never change. When I was playing, I always wanted to be a guy who spoke out when things weren't right. So even if I wasn't playing, I still wanted to be that guy, speak up. And at the end of the day, still guys on the defense who look up to me. So if I'm just being quiet, not giving my all in practice, then they could probably do that same. And I don't want nobody else to do that, so why would I?
And what does it mean to you that these guys look up to you so much?
It means the world, really. They really do just mean the world to me. They can see me as a guy they want to model their game after, or a guy they just want to be like and carry themselves like. It means a lot to me.
Not being able to be out there at the beginning of the season, how much you obviously have a passion and emotion for, but how much even hungrier did you become, if that was even possible, for this game, for this team?
It made me way hungrier. Just being like, just watching, having to sit through and watch our team lose two games, it kind of created like a beast, man. Like, knowing I could really, like, I could have played a big part in both of those games we lost. So it definitely created like a bigger frustration with everything I had going on. It created a bigger frustration, but I just put that to the right things, and just had to unleash it when I came back.
Do you have a different perspective, though, because you had to sit out and you weren't playing? Did you kind of take on, like, more of a coach's perspective where you can see things a little bit differently?
Yeah, I really did, man. Yeah, I kind of felt like coach, man.
Do you have a different perspective, though, because you had to sit out and you weren't playing? Did you kind of take on, like, more of a coach's perspective where you can see things a little bit differently?
Yeah, I really did, man. Yeah, I kind of felt like coach, man. I was yelling at the TV for a few games, you know, screaming at guys, like, trying to call the offenses play out, just really doing a lot of coach things. So I became a coach for a few weeks.
Has it helped your game when you got back? Because you did see it in a different way?
Yeah, it actually did, really. Being, like I said, pre-snap reads, you know, just watching the offense as they get lined up, you can see a lot of things, what a certain O-lineman does when he's about to run, block a pass block, or just how the running back lines up on different plays. So it opened my eyes to a lot of things.
That's awesome. Have you always been an emotional guy? Because, you know, Coach Riley called you kind of the emotional leader, and you definitely show it out there. How much you kind of, the passion that you have for this game. Has that always been you?
Yeah, that's always been me. In a way, I always tell myself, like, dang, I'm too crazy for football. So it's just like, I always feel a certain way. And, like, sometimes I can't, like, control the emotion. I wouldn't say, like, not controlling in a bad way, but, like, in a good way, sometimes I just can't control the emotion. Like, however I feel about the game is how I feel. So whenever I'm playing, I just let that emotion carry me with the way I play.
What is it that you love so much about being out there?
Really, like, being competitive. I'm probably like the ultimate competitor. So that's another thing that drives my emotions. Like the way the game going, like it could take my emotions sky high, and like I can kind of turn my level of play up with the way the game going. Just being a competitor, I hate to lose. That's why I'm a sore loser. I hate to admit it, but I am. I'm a sore loser. So sometimes I just kind of like snap out of my body and just play like a maniac, if you want to say, to make sure my team don't lose.
Coach Grinch said that you kind of have a goal to be one of the better players, best players to have come through here. Can you kind of speak a little bit about why that's so important for you to kind of leave such a mark here at Oklahoma?
Like I said, like the love I got for football is just like crazy. So Oklahoma is probably it is the best storied school about football. You know, it's one of the greatest programs in college football history. So why wouldn't I want to be one to go down as one of the best to play in this school, play in this uniform? Like one day, I want to bring my family back and like be able to show them pictures of me or like my number on the All-American wall and everything. So. Like, that's another thing that just drives me to just be the best I can be.
All right, there you have it. Another action-packed edition of the Sooner Sports Podcast. We'll have a complete recap coming up with the Sooner Radio Network post-game show as soon as the game wraps up. Make sure you subscribe at Soonersports.com/podcast or simply search Oklahoma Sooner Podcast on Apple Podcasts. Everyone have a great game day. And until the scene setter tomorrow morning, Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.